Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
notifications. If you're not already a member, please do sign up. Tell your friends and family about it. That's that map of the United States that you see on virtually every site that we have. It's a private communications platform that enables folks to speak with one another on a local level based on a very strict, pre-decided topics of discussion. Essentially, how it works is this. A wizard will walk you through a very easy setup. You know, put your name in here, click next. Put your zip code in here, click next, that sort of thing. Then it will walk you through the remainder of the setup. And then you'll get to a point where it'll ask you, what are your hot points? What are you interested in? This could range anything from credit card issues, home foreclosure, IRS matters, asset protection, or maybe veterans' rights, maybe personal health rights. Anything that you can think of that if it affects your personal rights in one way or another, you should find it in that list or something that's close enough. When the setup is complete, it puts it all together, much like you think of a social network, though nothing like a social network. It's very custom, it's very private. But it then puts you in contact with people in your local area that have similar interests to you. The idea here is to put the power of education and communication back in the hands of the common man. If you are in need of legal advice or you need someone to represent you, you're going to have to get an attorney. It's just that simple. But if there was a way, a private place that you could go to discuss matters, your personal things, their personal things, with people that were like-minded, and maybe you jump online one day and you say, this happened to me today. First person comes back and says, well, I disagree with that. I don't think they should be able to do that. I don't think that's fair. Well, that's probably not going to be a tremendous amount of help to you. And maybe the next person comes on and says, well, I'll tell you what I would do where I similarly situated. I'd watch these YouTube videos, and then I'd go down there to my local county courthouse, go to the law library, get a law dictionary, and look up these terms. Maybe the next person after that says, those all sound like great ideas. I'd also go to this particular website and check out these educational materials that might assist you in your learning. And then for you to go and do some due diligence on what you're reading, just people's suggestions, people's opinions at all. But if you did some due diligence and educated yourself, maybe the farther you got into it, you discovered that it's not as difficult as you initially thought it would be because you're focused on one single subject. And you get to a point where you've educated to yourself, and now you're handling your own affairs, your own matters. Well, folks, there's nothing illegal or unlawful about that. And that's all we're trying to do here at Statewide Communications is just very simply get people start talking again. Of course, there's no cost to you for using Statewide Communications, either signing up or the regular using of it. And so we hope that you'll pass that around. Freedoms Radio. If you're over the road, you don't want to deal with the call process, maybe you're just new to your remedies in the law and you don't yet have your username and password, therefore you can't see the phone number and the PIN. By the way, if you'd like to pick up a membership to your remedies in the law, it's very easy. You just simply click the register button, fill out your basic information there. You'll enjoy the first 30 days for free to evaluate it. After that, it converts to a very affordable $10 a month on your credit card or your PayPal. Every single call is recorded. You have years of archives to go through, a vast wealth of knowledge, as well as many other wonderful features. But if that's not an option for you today, you have freedomsradio.com. Every night the calls go out over the air at 9 p.m. Eastern live. There's also the question bar there where you can type in a question, click submit. As long as that's during call hours, that will pop up on the moderator screen, and we do our best to read every single one of those questions out over the air as long as they are appropriate. So you don't get the one-on-one with the information provider like you would be by being a private member, but you do get your questions answered. There's no cost to utilize Freedoms Radio, so no matter where you are or your circumstances, you never have to miss a call again if you don't wish. All right, winding down here, I'd like to go over one last bit of housekeeping. This is your caveat emptor, or your buyer beware. For any purchase that you may make at your remedies in the law or any of the other sites underneath the umbrella of Americans Restoring America, when you come aboard and you go with an information provider, you are doing just that. Information providers pay Mr. Edward for advertising at your remedies in the law. This payment would be an expense to that information provider along with any other expenses that they might have associated with your particular product or service. When you contact us, all we simply do is listen to your particular scenario. quickly deduce from a list of folks that honestly most of you would probably never be able to find on your own just simply because they can't be found. Can we make those introductions? Not every part on the information provider is always going to be successful. Everybody always hopes for the best. We plan for the best, and believe you me, we aim for the best. But unavoidable things do sometimes happen, and when they do, you have to roll with them and deal with them as you would with anything else in life. Again, we also want to emphasize, though, that the intent is always to be successful. If you have any questions of that, we welcome you to visit www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com/testimonials and see what others have had to say about these products and services. Now, let's touch very quickly on the subject of refunds or the refund policy. There is none. Not if your remedy is in the law, anyway. Of course, when you call the remedy and you go with a particular information provider, again, that is exactly what you're doing. So any discussion of a refund or a credit would be a strict and private matter between you and the information provider, and even then, that's very few and far between. It must be extenuating circumstances. You are expected to have done your due diligence before you commit to any particular process or information provider's time. All right. Lastly, pertaining here to all of the information providers at Your Remedy is in the Law, we'd like you to remind everybody that all of our speakers at these conferences are our guests and should be treated with the highest level of respect. If you disagree with something that a speaker has to say, that's fine. Disagreeing is how we learn, but please, you must always be civil. Besides, if a question is posed properly and then answered properly, then we can all learn something from it.
All right, well, that is my ramble for this evening, folks. So without further ado, it is my pleasure to turn the call over at this time to our speaker for this evening, Mr. David Merlin.
Hey, thanks a lot. Welcome to the radio show.
This is a recording, folks. I got a blank screen here. I'm working it out.
May 8th of 2017.
Stand by.
My name is David Merlin. Nothing you'll hear me say is intended as legal advice. Anything that sounds like that to you, so just consider something somebody else might do. I find it far, far away, but the law matters. It doesn't matter here. I prove it on a daily basis. Believe it.
All right.
The health care bill.
Good. Took care of that. Thank you so very much for your patience, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Off to a rocky start. Martin's phone is just... died on him, so he's trying to fix that and reboot and come back in. Tonight we're going to be talking about and sharing with you about correcting your status. Now, if this is the first time on your call, this I'd like to leave with you a website to go visit, and it's www.correctmystatus.com. If you click on that or type that in and hit send, it will redirect you to AmericanByBirth.com. You can also use UnionStateCitizen.com, and that'll redirect you to American by Birth. Why is this important? Well, the key to it is simply this. All your life, you have been treated as though you're a property and a franchise of the United States. There's even a court case that says so. And that's why when you look at something as simple as the Second Amendment, it says the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, yet you got to go to a background check. You got to ask permission. You got to pass tests, and you know you're then limited on what kind of weapon you may buy. You cannot get a select fire rifle. You can't have a magazine with greater than 30 rounds in some states, or even 10 rounds in other states. And the list goes on and on and on about how you can have your conduct. Well, that certainly sounds like infringement to me. So why is that there? And how do they get away with it? It's very simple. There are two classes of United States citizens, ladies and gentlemen. Two. Not one. There are two. One class is known as a United States citizen, and therein you have no rights. They'll use the word rights, but what you have are privileges. And the privileges are made manifest by the fact that you carry a license in your purse or your wallet that says that you may drive or you may hunt or fish, or, you know, the list goes on ad infinitum. Point being is that that's because you are a property and a franchise of the United States. The other is, for simple terms, a union state citizen. And that was the term actually used on an old W-8 Ben, the form issued by the IRS many years ago. So where do you find this in the United States Code? Where do they recognize you? Well, they recognize you under Title 8, Section 1502, where it talks about something called an American national. An American national and a union state citizen is one and the same. You will not find the phrase union state citizen throughout any of the statutes or codes or laws, but you will find the phrase American national. And those people who are American nationals have not civil rights. Civil rights belong to United States citizens. They have constitutional rights. A union state citizen, an American national, has constitutional rights. So your right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And so we have one of the team has a student right now going through this issue. And we're working with that on that matter. So when you're at this website, which will ultimately lead you to AmericanByBirth.com, you'll see at the top of the header or underneath the main header,
excuse me, two ribbons
running from right to left. The first ribbon is titled, Once We Were Colonists, Subject to a King. Click on that. It's 22, 23, 24 pages. Download it. Print it if you like, and read it, and reread it, and reread it. Do that, reread it so many times, you can start a sentence and you can finish the sentence without looking at the page. Know it that well. The court cases in there are absolute stunners. Towards the latter part, down at the 20th page or something like that, it gets into something called deprivation of rights under color of law. That is your leverage. That is your tool to work with when government does not, when state actors do not recognize or honor your constitutional rights. I have been sharing with John that I really believe the first thing out of the gate, the moment a law enforcement officer, whoever you interface with, is involved, whether it's a traffic stop or whatever, that within that week or 10 days from you being stopped, the first thing that's done is a federal lawsuit is filed, most likely civil to begin with. A civil federal lawsuit is filed under deprivation of rights under color of law. So that would be Title 42, Section 1983, 1985, 1986, one of those three or all of those three, depending on the circumstances.
And the reason for that is
that once you have a case number, then you go ahead and file that into your traffic case and show it to the prosecutor, show it to the judge, let them know what is coming down the pike. You have something called judiciable standing. And judiciable standing is when you have the standing to go after or to litigate with or charge or when a state actor has misbehaved. Now, the law enforcement officer that you met on the side of the road, that's already done. So he's already misbehaved, and he's going to get that lawsuit regardless. The prosecutor yet still has time to withdraw the case, to withdraw the charges, discharge the charges. And if he does that, or she does that, they're good to go. They're not going to be charged with deprivation of rights under color of law.
But if they are,
as everyone we've seen so far, have been grossly arrogant, except for one, there's one that wasn't grossly arrogant. And for whatever reason, John is going to let him skate, I think. Point being is that if they continue with the matter, then they will be joined to the same civil federal complaint, deprivation of rights under color of law. So that's going to be entered into the record. Now, let me ask you this. If you're on the bench, and you've got that black robe and you've got that wooden stick with a ball at the end of it, a gavel, are you going to let it go any further? Are you going to leave judiciable standing to the injured party to continue the matter to come after you? I don't think so. All it's going to take is a dozen students filing these civil complaints first. And I say civil first because that gives you the opportunity to collect evidence that you would not have been able to be that would not able to be collected during a criminal lawsuit. That would be Title 18, Section 242. So you always start with civil. Do like the IRS does. They start against you civilly. They get all this information, and then after that's all said and done and it's wound down, then they turn around and charge you criminally as well. And now they've got all the evidence, so it's kind of a slam dunk. So that's what's happening on the board there, and that's where we're going with this. I'm waiting for GW to give us a shout to come on board. See if he sent a text telling me that for whatever reason. Now, I do want to let you know that I will be your speaker tomorrow. So John will not be here, most likely. He said he could be here, but most likely he won't be here. And so I'll be your speaker tomorrow night, and I'm going to tie some things in about the application of this and bring you up to date on some students' works that we're doing that should be really good. And I could save some things with you tonight right now, but I'm going to save it for tomorrow night. You're going to really want to hear this because the outcome of it is the success of a home foreclosure remedy. And the amount on the table was over $1 million. So, anyways, I see that
GW's joined us. Welcome, brother.
And, Martin is having some issues with his phone, so I'll be doing the call tonight. And so let's tell us what's happened in your week this week and anything strange and exciting and some thoughts on your mind.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great. I just caught a little bit of the tail end of your explaining about this. I might have to be on that call tomorrow explaining about the home foreclosure remedy situation you're talking about. So that's cool. That's cool. So anyway, let's see, this week, a lot of conversations and, had something I could use kind of as a good illustration. There was one of my friends who's kind of a researcher. He sent me this video to watch. It was long, long video of this gentleman out of Oregon who was giving a presentation about American history, basically. Very, very interesting. I mean, he hit some really interesting, filled in some interesting blanks on a whole lot of different events that have happened over in our country that have to do with, of course, sovereignty and how we lost it and how we gained it and how the crown works, how the pope works and the jurisdiction on land and air and water and admiralty and all this stuff. He was tying it all these different things in, which were pretty interesting. And he's the head of one of the assemblies in Oregon for Onavon rights. Okay, and I was asked to, you know, take a look at this thing, and I was like, okay, whatever. And even though it was decent in the information, the very, very little about how to become and what are the benefits of becoming an American national, I mean, as far as the benefits go, okay, their whole thing that they're pushing is this card that they make up from their assembly. And it just, I mean, maybe someday it really will be recognized all over the country and whatnot. Who knows? But the thing that I didn't appreciate about this gentleman is that there was hardly any mention. It was kind of a godless presentation from that standpoint about biblical truths and being able to understand it within the context of our representative republic and the differences in these things. But he was at the end where he did mention about, you know, you got to have this form and this form and this form, and here's what we do, and you just, you know, you have to fill out this form and this form and this form, and you become an American national, and you get your, you know, secure your constitutional rights, blah, blah, blah. He started going in about how you don't need it. You don't need tags in your car. And this is the way he said it. You don't need tags in your car. You know, that's just, I mean, the way that he was talking about it, okay, was very arrogant and, I believe, from my perspective, very ignorant in the arena of really explaining things from the standpoint of diplomacy and decorum. And that's where I take, I don't take offense, but I take umbrage with it. I take, you know, I look at it and think, you know, that is really going to create some drama. Because there was no explanation, there was no cautioning of anything. He was just trying to say, you know, you don't need tags in your car, and you know, you don't drive, you operate in a private conveyance, you know, don't call it a motor vehicle. And going on and on about this. Now, there are things that he's saying that are definitely true. Okay. But the problem is that you're lining people up to get abused, and you're not training them and teaching them what they need to do in case of an altercation or they're stopped alongside the road. There was no explanation of it. There was no caution. There was no so those are the things that I really take I guess you could say kind of offense to, when somebody's doing that kind of a presentation and they're just, you know, they're throwing these younger, more impressionable, trainees, students out to the wolves. Okay. I think it's a tragedy, and I don't like to see it. And so this is where education comes in. This is where training and philosophy and really learning how to be like Scripture says, as gentle as a dove, but wise as a serpent. Okay, you do have liberties. You do have a lot of freedom, but should you use it in every case, in every situation, and bludgeon the people that are questioning you? And my answer to that is no, it's not necessary. And we can do things in a way that draws them, you know, closer to the truth without, you know, shoving it down their throats. And so that was kind of what happened this week with that broadcast I listened to. And again, this is a broadcast from one of the assemblies, and it's again Anna and her people. And we talked about this in weeks past with the situation, the altercation that happened in Utah with the young gentleman that had no tags on his car and had a holstered gun on his side. And got pretty belligerent with the cops and didn't do what someone of that's in my place, or somebody's in like Michael's place, or anyone like John would be teaching them to, hey, listen, you get pulled over, you got a gun on your side, the best thing to do, okay, put both hands on the steering wheel or both, you know, out the window that's partly rolled down to show, hey, listen, I'm not reaching for anything, and hey, there is a weapon in here, okay, I have one, and instead of letting them, you know, watch you hold on to it, and then the cop yells, gun, 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 all over, you know, over and over and over again, you know, which is basically a code word for, hey, you know, fire when ready, okay, and make mincemeat out of you. And I'm not saying it was right at all, but this is human nature, and this is, and it can be totally avoided, absolutely avoided, which I would like to see. So those are my thoughts on, you know, some of the stuff that happened this week. And other than that, this call, of course, you know, is all about correcting your status as an American, to an American national, from the de facto position that you've come to sit in as a United States citizen or U.S. person. Like if you've ever signed a 1040 before, you've certified that you're a U.S. person, and a number of other constructs that basically mean the same thing, U.S. individual or a resident. These are all pretty much the same, and that is the bottom of the barrel with what we're talking about. We're talking about elevating our standing and our status, not above God's law, but definitely above man's law, in the form of statutes, regulations, and codes. And, you know, also on that broadcast, which always is absent is either their understanding or their ability to present it, or I don't know what it is, but, you know, the Constitution, which we love and we talk about a lot, is firmly in place, and it's sitting there. And whether you want to talk about the corporate Constitution or the, you know, any of the six, like this guy was talking about, the organic Constitution, you know, the Constitution for the United States of America, it's still in place. It has been. They've tried to delegitimize it, okay, but they can't enact it. They can't cancel it, so to speak. What they just did is they sidestepped it after 1868 with, of course, the implementation of the Act of 1871, which created the corporation, the U.S. corporation, and the understanding of the District of Columbia, the 10 square miles, and then all these different agencies that love to manage your life, that love to govern you, want to govern you, which is what the enemy and his minions want to do. They always want to govern, okay? Those all came in, all those agencies that populate the 50 titles of the USC or the CFR, if you want to call it that, Code of Federal Regulations, they all came in after they put in the 14th Amendment, which created their little piece of property they call the U.S. citizen, that the Supreme Court says is property and a franchise of the federal government. And so this is what we do on this call, is we try to bring an understanding and comprehension to what does it mean to separate yourself from that category of U.S. citizen and be in a place where you have status and standing as an American national. And how does that look and feel, and how should you act and operate in that capacity. So that's what this call is about, and we've gone into it pretty in depth on other calls, and they of course are available on the website that I'm sure Michael has told you about, the Your Remedies in the Law, and that I believe they're downloadable. I'm not quite sure if I'm speaking that rightly, but I know that if you reach out to Michael, that he can give you access to any of the calls or recorded calls, and you can do some listening from past calls. But to put it into a nutshell, we do it through filing paperwork in the form of an affidavit, which is the highest form of evidence you can put into any administrative or judicial matter. And we do it as in the form of an affidavit, and it's called the citizenship evidence. And we do it with the U.S. State Department. And it's also, we help you to procure a brand new passport and passport card. And the reason for the card is once you really understand this and you're learning how to operate in this new construct, the passport card fits right where your license used to fit in your wallet or your purse, and it can be used instead of a license, okay, if you know what you're talking about and you realize that you do not drive, which is a commercially regulated activity, and you travel, which is your right, you can use that travel card in place of what they would ask for, of course, is a driver's license. And we have many students over the years that have done this and prevail. And when you do it right and you keep calm and it's not that you have to be an expert. It's just that you have to be calm and cool and controlled and just give them the card, and if they want to run it, they'll run it. They do have the capacity to run it in their cruisers. And they will see what it says about you. That's the time that you will learn that it says something about you and puts you into a little bit different category than the average person. And this I tell to all my students, and I get regular. I just got another one this week from he's actually one of John's students too. Okay, that was might be on the call tonight. I don't know. His name is Caesar, but he had to fly, and he's from Venezuela. He's a naturalized what you would call American national now, but he was naturalized as a U.S. citizen many years ago from Venezuela, him and his wife, and very patriotic guy, very, very excited about coming to America, and then he actually found me through a law firm out of Portugal, because when this new administration got into office, he was like, whoa! he thought he was losing it. He thought, my America's gone. And he was told that, probably the only thing you can do is go and expatriate, give up your U.S. citizenship, and go to another country like he just had done, not, 20 years ago. And once he digested everything, I mean, he was in tears. He was like, I can't believe it. We could do this. And so he had a very different experience flying. And he's like, I'm starting to believe this now. So that it's always fun to get those updates from different past students that are actually operating and using their passports, when they're doing either international flights or they're just flying around the country and they get treated differently. So,
yeah, Caesar's not on with the call that, tonight. Why don't you share with us what happened? What was different?
Just the way he was treated. Yeah, just the way he was treated at the airport. You know,
well, they pat him down. They make him go through the Magneto.
No, they didn't. He took that, ran it, and then just said, "Oh, have a nice day." Just
super.
Took and boosted him right through the fast line. Now, it doesn't mean that it will always happen. It just depends. It sometimes depends on who you get, okay, and how they, you know, if they're watching the screen particularly right. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is that he was I was trying to get back over to the actual conversation. Where is that? Come on. There we go. Yeah, he just said, "Have a nice day, safe flight." And he says, "In shock. I'm starting to believe this diplomatic stuff."
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, let me just jump in here for some things. I want to make certain that everyone on the call understands that there is no traffic stop that is ever to be considered casual. And the reason why I say that, they, the law enforcement people, they are taught a word to identify a type of person who is basically borderline terrorists. That's how they're trained.
And that term, excuse me,
is sovereign citizen. Now, there's no such thing in law as a sovereign citizen. You're a sovereign or you're a citizen. You can't be both. You may be a sovereign in the sense that, you know, you have your genealogy that traces back to the mid to latter part of the 1700s, and your grandfather, eight times removed, was listed in one of the former colonies' state militias now, and that would, by definition, make you a sovereign, right along there with King George III, who referred to you, your birthright, as his peer.
However,
the Union state citizen is the creature that has all the rights. The constitutional rights, the natural rights. And they're the ones that are misidentified as, quote, sovereign citizens, end quote. And it's just like in the old days, back 20, 30 years ago, they used to refer to someone that was challenging the tax laws of our nation. They had a derogatory for them. If you remember, it was a tax protester.
Ooh, a tax protester. Ooh.
You know, sovereign citizen. Ooh. Only it's
even worse with sovereign citizens because
they're told you're potential terrorists. So I'm saying this because if I were stopped tomorrow, my window is rolled down, both my arms are extended uncomfortably out the window, and the officer walks up and he says, "You look uncomfortable." And I said, I'll say, "Yes, sir, I am uncomfortable. I'm in this position because I want you to feel as safe as possible and that I don't have any further ventilation holes added to my body than what I came with from birth." Might get a chuckle out of them. Who knows? I said, "Why are you like that?" He says, "Well, first, I have a unique class of citizenship. It's called an American national under Title 8, Section 1502 of the United States Code. So you're going to ask me for my driver's license, proof of insurance, and registration, and I don't have it because I'm not required under that political citizenship status to have one. And I know that you've been taught to identify someone who talks like me as a sovereign citizen, which is not who I am, and that I'm a dangerous creature. And that's why I'm having my arms, both my arms, uncomfortably outside this window, so you can feel comfortable and I don't get any further ventilation. By the way, I want you to know on my right hip is a J-frame Smith & Wesson air weight. It's got 5 hot rounds, aqua gels. I want you to know that, so I'm sitting here like this, and I'm waiting for your instructions to so I do exactly what you want me to do, and you're comfortable. That's the way I'd handle it. I wouldn't try to get away with anything. And then he's going to say, well, what do you have? And I'll say, I'd love to produce for you, which I have here, if you notice, this piece of plastic between my fingers. This was presented to me by the State Department of the United States. It's called a pass card. And if you would run that pass card, you would see that all the things that I'm saying are true. Now, what do you want me to do about my firearm on my right hip or wherever it is? No surprises here. And he goes, well, I want to bring another police car up here so that you're covered while I go back to my office. And I'll say, fine. I'll just stay here like this. Terribly uncomfortable in this twisted position so that you're comfortable and feel safe. That's how I handle it. I don't want anybody upset with me. That kid, he was a kid. How old was he? 25, 35? They're fed. Somebody's feeding these people irresponsible information to act irresponsibly. They should have alerted and just having conversations with him to spend special time with him so that he didn't do exactly what he did. It's just uncalled for. Anyways, thank you, GW, for allowing me to rant on that. GW, are you still with us? Press star 2 on your keypad.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that. I'm cutting onions right now. So I was
cry me a river.
Just about. So anyway, thank you for going over that. Yeah, it was good. And that kid, I think it was 28 or something like that. That's one of the reasons why, you know, you with your people go over. Okay, we get them on the line. We don't have a paper mill here where you just come
right
to a website, sign up for this document, pay for it, go and get instructions that are all on, some PDF and then go through that process because look how that works. Yeah. I mean,
right.
I don't the reason for taking time with people and getting them to a place of understanding, comprehension, is that we don't want to sully our name. If anybody out there, you know, says, oh, yeah, that's one of GW's guys, that's one of Michael's guys, you know, and look what happened to them. No. So we'll take the extra time.
Absolutely. I do want to also share that, GW just brought up a fellow named John. There is a team that we've developed over the years that, and it isn't a separate fee. It's an extra few bucks, but we have a team in place that should you require assistance in any litigation, they can walk you through it. I want you to understand every single student that we've processed in correcting their status that have got in trouble, regardless of what that trouble is, has either cleared the deck and had all the charges dropped, whether it was traffic or drugs. That's the two that we've, when I say the two, that's the two categories. We have several people, but that's the two categories that we've processed so far. Or they're in the process of going through the litigation. You know, they're facing criminal charges for whatever it is that they were doing. In this case here, it would be having a couple of weapons in their car that the local government believes that they should not have. So, you know, we haven't lost yet. Everything is won. And we're not about to turn our backs on anyone that has a need and an issue to deal with. We have a first-time caller that's raised their hand from Fort Lauderdale, where I was reared. Yeah, I was reared down there in a little town called Davie. Let me unmute their phone here. Give me a second, please. There we go. Their phone number ending in 5460. May I have your first name only, please, and share with us how you heard about our call.
Hey, it's Emily, Mike's daughter.
Oh, I thought you were in Tampa. What are you doing with the Fort Lauderdale number?
Oh, no. I'm on my mom's phone. My phone died, so I was trying to get into the call.
I see. No problem.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So how can I help you? Doing very well, Miss Emily.
Awesome. I had a question. I know earlier you were saying something in regards to what you, I guess, file with or the paperwork that you do. It has to do with the citizenship when
right.
it comes to collecting the status.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear that part clearly, so I was trying to get understand what you said.
Okay. Sure. The cost to run through our system to correct your status is $5,000.
Right.
You have us holding your hand every step of the way. It is done right the first time, and you're in a place where you have support, help, and education all along the way.
Right. And then for sure, like, my biggest thing is when you get pulled over, because I've had so many issues with the lovely red and blue. As far as being pulled over, it'll have the do not stop, do not detain.
Yeah, no, you're cool and calm the whole time. And when they ask for your driver's license, proof of insurance, and registration, you say, officer, I have a document here from the State Department of the United States, and I was told to present this to you, to any law enforcement officer, anyone that asks me for identification, to show them this. So
okay.
This is what I have, and you're welcome to it. Now, we've had a couple of highway patrolmen that have said, this is unacceptable, we're not going to accept it.
Right.
And I would say to them, well, respectfully, sir, that's your problem, and I would strongly encourage you to contact your shift commander and possibly even your loss prevention office for the people you work for. Well, loss prevention office, why would I contact them? And then I'd say
right.
something like, well, as a state actor, you are actually depriving me of my rights under color of law, which is
under
Title
color
18,
of law.
Section 240. Yeah, Title 18, Section 242, or Title 42, Section 1983, 85, and 86. And
right.
I would, you know, you seem like a real nice fella, real nice lady. I don't want to rain on your parade. Please run this, because you've been getting some bad information.
Right.
And then
I know
let it go from
of,
there. Whatever they tell you
to do,
whatever they
tell you to do,
do it. But that's all
right.
you give them.
Okay. Because that would take me out of the original system with the driver's license, basically.
Right.
Right.
Right. Take copious notes of the names of the people that you are involved with, officers, you know, Jack Smith, whatever his name is, or her name,
mm-hmm.
Jane Smith.
Did they lay their hands
on you? Were they, as soon as you have the moment, the opportunity, you sit down and write your thoughts in a step-by-step fashion, a moment-by-moment statement of what happened, what transpired. Right. And that will become an affidavit for you at some time in the very near future, because them pulling you over to begin with, they made an assertion. The assertion was that you were property and franchise of the United States.
Right.
You gave them the opportunity to prove it differently. They didn't accept that. So it's game on from there. Your best bet is to be as polite and considerate of their feelings as possible. Remember, they're armed. And there is
right.
a history of them ventilating people.
Oh, trust me, I know. Yes. I just want a clarification of that, because then, like, through the step-by-step process, my whole thing would be learning the language and the verbiage of what to use, what not to use. And I know that emotions, controlling the emotions is a big issue for myself.
You should have no emotions involved with this whatsoever, no attitude
right.
whatsoever.
Right.
It is what it is. You had your hypothetically, your correction, your status is corrected. Here's the State Department identification. Please work with that officer. That's what I was instructed to give you to work with. Anything else I can do to help you, please.
Right. Okay. I just want a little bit of clarification on that. That's all. I want to appreciate it.
Sure.
Say I appreciate you and thank you, JW. And Mike. Yeah, have a good evening. Thank you.
You're welcome, Miss Emily. Yeah. Even you sympathize
too.
With
have
them.
A good evening.
Thank you. Yeah, even sympathize with them. Officer, you know, it's a rough day. It's a rough job that you have to do, and I'm sorry that we have to meet under these circumstances. I want to make this as safe and pleasant for both of us as possible under the circumstances. All right, next is Frank from the great, great city of Austin. Go ahead.
Thank you, Michael, GW. A follow-up question, GW, from one that I asked you last week, talking about the indication that President Trump had received his corrected status in 2008, and you had some comments to make on that. My question is, and I've got a second question after this, but my question is, why don't you and John contact the Trump administration and support his release from this kangaroo court based upon jurisdiction? I think that would be a remarkable advertisement for you and your team and maybe 45 million Americans to see the truth.
Well, let me comment on that, Michael. Yeah. I love your enthusiasm. I appreciate that. And your confidence in myself and Brother John. The thing that's very, very interesting that you might not be getting about Trump is that he is so far ahead of them, and he is laying some huge traps in place with what he's doing right now with this situation where he's supposedly been indicted by a grand jury, right? And they are coming up with violations of no laws, okay? I mean, the things that he's allowing to happen, even though, yes, he could trump, okay, this situation very easily, okay? But he's laid a trap for these guys that I hate to say, I guarantee you, I just want to say just watch how everything unfolds in the future from this, because this is huge. I mean, this set a precedent, and he baited it. Trump is acting as the matador, baiting
yep.
the bull. And this bull has no idea of who it's messing with. It hasn't a clue.
I believe that. I believe that.
And
good answer.
And there's a,
and I think we're going to see some pretty exciting things over the next several weeks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
it,
so second question.
Just, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. All right. Rhetorically speaking, through the process I've gone through with you and Michael and Bernie and whatnot on correcting my status, and I think I'm at the point now that I hopefully should get my passport in the next 2 or 3 weeks, and I'll let you know about that. But
okay.
my question is, given the fact that I've corrected my status, what I've heard through multiple calls is one of the things that we potentially lose is the right to vote, because that's for U.S. citizens. So I sent a rhetorical text to Michael, and I said, well, if we're restoring our status back to our God-given rights under the original organic constitution, I'm sure the original organic constitution allowed American nationals to vote, that it was only when the 1871 fraudulent constitution came into being that the fraudulent U.S. citizens were the voters. And Michael had a good response, and he said, ask about it tonight. So is there a point
okay.
in time that you see, GW, that when we are corrected in our status, that we will be able to vote because we are once again a republic?
Okay. All right. Good questions. Great questions. And I would the short answer is yes. Okay. Here's the long answer. Right now, where we are in reality, right now in the now, okay? After the implementation of Title 11, which is about federal voting guidelines, how we vote for our president, how we vote for our senators and congressmen and whatnot. Okay, that's found in Title 11. Every state of the union, okay, corporate state, okay, state of Arizona, state of California, state of Kentucky, state of, you know, all the corporate states, they adopted the Title 11 guidelines in their state for voting. So now, which is, you know, really kind of sad, now, all right, they eventually remove you from the rolls once you correct your status. It's not like it's done immediately. It's usually, you know, you'll know in a couple of years, and all of a sudden you can't, you know, you've disappeared, okay?
Uh-huh.
And you could only put in a provisional ballot now, okay?
Okay.
But, okay, so someday.
But that's probably better than a Dominion ballot.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
go ahead.
Well, they have been Dominion ballots. These provisional, you know, the provisional ballots are the ones that get adjudicated, and you know who's adjudicating them. They're the leftists that got in
yep.
those positions, and they look at the thing and they decide, oh no, he wasn't voting for Trump.
Right.
No, he was voting for Biden. Oh yeah, yeah. Anyway, but you know, aside from that, what you do qualify for with a corrected status is to be able to become an elector. Now, an elector, okay, in your state, you qualify for that now. So you can go through that process to become an elector. Now,
okay.
as a non-property owner, you get one vote. As a property owner, you get four votes. That was, by the way, that's the original organic, okay? As a property owner, those that have skin in the game, they got four votes to the one vote that's the guy that's, you know, living in the side yard, okay? That's
right.
Kind of, you know, all right. They wanted to make it an incentive to have skin in the game.
Right.
which I agree with, okay? I agree with that. So there's a lot of things that need to happen and need to be done, but the good news is you can qualify to be an elector if you want to go through that process.
All right. I appreciate your feedback. I appreciate you and Michael and Bernie's support going through this process, and I'll report back in the next 2 or 3 weeks, hopefully, that my passport's in.
Right on. Cool. Yeah, yeah.
Close time.
All right.
All right. Anything else, Frank?
Nope, doing good. Appreciate y'all. Y'all are good.
Thank you. All right, next is Charlie, followed by Kent. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yes, hi. I really appreciate the, the demeanor of training us, you know, to be respectful and that sort of thing. I identify with that. Now, in the past, there have been, you know, a few questions. Well, so what about doing it, you know, this method or that, as far as correcting status? And I've heard you comment, GW, about typically the students that have, you know, gone down some of those paths are harder to train, basically. So today, I happen to be listening to a SGT report. You might be familiar with it.
Yeah.
And he was interviewing a gentleman who goes by Crow777radio.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I certainly appreciated I'll call him Crow, I guess. I don't know who he is. Approach from creation and respecting godly values, etc. He did say, as you probably know, apparently, I was going to just kind of ask you about, but I guess he had some broadcasts on, birth certificate, certification, some free ones, etc. And then he listed some other, four or five others that were related to status correction, however he labeled that, and said, no, that's not to be taken lightly, and etc. Now, the reason I kind of ask this, I'm learning, listening, trying to gather understanding, etc. At some point, when I, probably before I pull the trigger on this, I need to have a conversation with my wife. And I don't know how that's going to go, And, look at this, honey. Maybe, go read this or listen to this. But on this other hand, I'm kind of asking you, I said, I don't really have time to listen to much, but I'm tempted to go, let's see, go see what Crow says. But then I kind of think of, your observation that may make me harder to train, shall we say. So on that token, is there something when I get to a point of saying, honey, here's what I'm learning, here, can you learn this with me, read this, is there a place to go, or do you end up having to listen? What is your recommendation?
Boy, maybe some of the past calls that we've had. That's kind of a hard one because getting a spouse there.
I suggest that you read Once We Were Calling as Subject to a King, like at least 10 times.
Okay.
And then once you've read that, read The Greatest Story Never Told.
Yeah, those two are pretty good. Do you have those, sir?
I do have them printed. I have not had an opportunity to read them yet. But
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. So, thank you for that.
I gotta sit there and
shake my head. Do you know how many students of Bernie's that will call me up asking about this, asking about that, and I'll say, you got the packet, didn't you? You got the packet from me that said library. Yeah. Did you open up the attachment? Well, yeah. Did you
read the README first file?
No. Well, why not?
Yeah.
You know, you got to help yourselves.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, and I've heard more than once of those two. Once we were colonists, and then the great story never told. So that gives me direction. I appreciate that, and obviously, I guess you kind of concur. I'm just asking that it would be maybe not helpful to go listen to Crow's information.
Well, I'm not saying not to do that. When I made that comment, I've had some people, in fact, he was just on with me, right before the call. And, anyway, sometimes when people are really studying a subject and they're really trying to dig deep on it and they, you know, they come up with a lot of, a lot of constructs that aren't necessarily going to get them to the place where they want to be. And so, I'm not saying not to do it. It's just, you know, in fact, I would encourage you, you know, to study and, you know, if he's got great stuff to say, just, learn from it. Okay. Take in the golden nuggets and, throw out the needless stuff. I mean, there used to be people that were, putting out a lot of information. It's still out there, you know, that you never, for instance, this is one of them, you know, you never want to attach your affidavit to your DS-11. Okay. They won't accept it. You know, it'll get rejected. And it's like, that's the one thing you do want to do.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the one thing you do want to do. Because without the affidavit in place, with it is a support for your position, it's like it's a little naked. And the thing is, they themselves never bother to read the fact that their own instructions on their own website, that I'm talking about the government's website, travel.gov, say and state that you can provide citizenship evidence with your application. And so that's what we do. And we provide citizenship evidence. And the highest form of that is, of course, in the form of an affidavit. Especially an unrebutted affidavit. So, there you go. But I would sit down with your wife and just ask her if she would, you know, kind of go over some of this stuff with you, because you want her feedback on some of this stuff.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I thought of, you guys, Saturday, I guess it was, my wife turned 70 at the end of this month, and so well, let's get this Social Security money coming in, you know. And so we went online, and she's filling up the forms online, and there was a question there that I wanted to spend some time on, but she was moving along, and I didn't want to explain why I wanted to focus on this question. But it was, I can't remember it exactly, it was something like, are you a citizen, or are you a non-U.S. citizen, or anyway, we had like three options, and it made me think of, I think it was Jennifer that probably had a somewhat similar question or something. But when I approach, again, considering the question whether I should, you know, in July, I'll turn 70, like, you know, she would like me to start getting Social Security. I haven't said it. Wouldn't yet, but I'll probably be revisiting this question and trying to get assurance, you know, that I'm not stabbing myself in the foot or something. So But I don't know what that question was. I'm going to look at it again.
You mean by correcting your status, or are you a little bit you have some caution there because you don't know if it will trip up?
Well, I think you know, correcting my status is something I want to do. Will I still be able to take Social Security without
absolutely? Yeah,
jeopardy.
By the way, that's usually one of the number one questions that pops up with everybody.
Yeah,
you know, you're not the only one. Listen, it's like, will it, you know, do anything to my Social Security? And the answer is absolutely nothing. It doesn't affect it one way or the other because it's a contract, okay, that has to be paid out. And so, it doesn't affect pensions. And it, there's all kinds of things. It doesn't affect disability, okay, payments and things like that. So, that is something that, just, you know, I can just tell you, never, ever, ever heard of anybody, telling me, hey, I corrected my status and now, you know, it messed up my Social Security payments or, you know, something like that.
Okay.
I mean, believe me, that would happen so fast.
Yeah.
You know, they would reach out so fast. Let me tell you, never happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll, when I come across that question, I'll take a closer look, and there may be a certain way I need to answer the question about citizenship on there. I'm not sure. It's about the third page down through a bunch of questions, so that'll be later. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you kindly. Next is Sam. Go ahead, Sam, and then Kent.
Hey, what did,
finish up with Kent.
What did you say the U.S. code was for the citizenship?
Title
Article
8.
Title 8.
Title 8, Section 1502, American National. You'll see it was in the body of the writing.
Section 1502. All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. All right, Brother Kent, take us home.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. Just one question. Greg, you were telling Frank that a non-property owner would get one vote under our original laws and four votes if they were a property owner. For people operating in today's society or existing in today's society that would not own property in their, quote, own name, how would that end up working out? Would it be if you somehow had an interest in a property through a trust that you would get a vote, or you would not get a vote under those circumstances?
I have no idea.
Okay.
No idea whatsoever. Yeah.
I didn't ask the question to stump you. I was just thinking about it.
Sure.
Saying,
sure.
Well, you know, today with the level of sophistication that people have, you know, they're not going to put property in their own name. So how are they going to go about getting to be an elector?
Yeah. No, you can be an elector. You just get one vote if you don't own property.
Mm-hmm.
See, the thing is, you just get one vote if you don't own property, but you get four votes if you own property.
Right. So my question was to get the four votes.
Yeah.
You know, if.
Yeah. I have no idea. So.
No, at least
you can be, you know, what the nice thing is, if you, you know, whatever, you can become an elector. You can still participate in the process.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Want to thank you, Kent, and everyone for your questions tonight. We have one more over on Freedom's Radio that came in. Says, with corrected status, can you direct us in becoming an elector? I would say yes. I would say that we would be talking to GW and with John on that. following it. It says, also, if your property is purchased on one of Justice Beshear's trusts, are you still eligible to cast for electoral votes? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, me either.
GW,
Absolutely. Okay. Have no idea.
To explore.
No idea.
Yeah, these are things.
Yep.
These are things to explore.
I want to
thank everyone for joining us this evening. GW, any parting comments?
No, I think the call went rather well. There's a lot of
Alrighty. Good
action there, so I think we're
so again.
We're
I
good.
Want to remind everyone to join us tomorrow night. I will be your speaker most likely. John said that he may have to bail out. He's in Las Vegas tonight. He's closing the deal at the table on a what was a home foreclosure in $1 million-plus piece of property. And the team, his efforts and team's efforts, including Justice Beshear and even GW, because he corrected the status, have participated in this. And tomorrow morning they meet at the closing table and everything will be inked. So we'll be talking about that tomorrow night, my take on it anyways. And I think it's important that everybody hear that as well.
Wednesday night,
we're going to be re-inviting Mr. Slevin here to speak about his wonderful LLCs, limited liability companies, that have an awesome arrangement of its construct to be such that it doesn't have a tax liability. So that becomes one more layer on the onion skin with which to remove yourself from the tax liabilities. You've got correcting your status means that you don't have that liability. The operation of whatever it is that you're doing through this LLC means that you don't have that tax liability. The fact that your CRTs are the actual owners, two CRTs are the owners of the LLC. The CRTs are non-taxpayers by the IRS. It's just layering one non-taxpayer on top of another. I love it. So until then, good night, everyone, and be well.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you, GW.
All right. Good night.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.